The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good afternoon. You're joining We the People Radio. My name is Erin Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
And I'm Bob Martin.
And there you go. Those are all the voices you're going to hear. The other two voices you're going to hear are Scott Blackburn and Kristen Rule. And so that hogs up all of our phone lines. So I just want to let people know that at the beginning. You can join us on the chat room if you go to wethepeopleradio.us. You can click on the brown bar at the top that says click to listen and join the chat every Sunday noon to 2. If you click on that, you can send us messages and whatnot online, because I have a feeling this is going to generate lots of questions, comments, you know, that kind of stuff. So we want to make sure we have good ways to communicate. Okay, hold on here. My computer decided to mug me and do an update. Super handy. Let's see. We're here live every Sunday from noon to 2. What other housekeeping do we have? We have been airing in the Philadelphia, New Jersey market on WNJC 1360 AM between, I think it's 3 and 4:30 Saturdays?
3:30 to 5.
3:30 to 5. It keeps changing. Okay, I'll just... It's on Saturday at some point in time.
3:30 to 5 Eastern time, yeah, on Saturday.
Just find it there. And we will have a commercial-free archive of this program up by about... an hour and a half after the show, so you can send this to your friends. Because we're talking about the VA, and I know this is going to be confusing for many of our regular listeners, we have good news from the VA. So kind of fasten your seatbelt here, and we're going to go through some things that are really exciting that are going to actually help our veterans. And it isn't just a bunch of happy talk. It's actually going to get things done with people who know how to do that. So the first person I'd like to introduce is Kristen Rule, because we've had her on before. She has been, let's see, do we dare call her a perennial whistleblower? Kristen's been ratting out the VA since, I think, what'd you tell me, Kristen, 2010?
That's when I sent my first email, yes.
It all starts with an email, doesn't it? So, okay, so tell us how you got involved in from there to here, because I think that's important. You bring a lot of credibility to the information, because people know that, I mean, you're not going to, you know, you're not going to lie for them, obviously.
Yeah, this has been one of the best experiences since I've joined the VA in 2007, and I must credit General Hickey for telling me about this great program, because she is the one that told me that this existed at the VA and suggested that maybe I apply for one of the detail positions that they offer. So at the time that was happening, I thought it would be a good idea to maybe take a break from the Philadelphia Regional Office and see what other opportunities were out there, and the detail would be perfect because it was just temporary. So I applied, and I ended up working for something called the MyVA Task Force, and I've been there, it'll be a year in September, and I just sat back and I wanted to see what it was all about, and it's been the greatest team I've been on. Everybody works together. People want to help each other. People want to find answers and solutions. There's nothing impossible with these people. If you tell them it's impossible, they would probably say to you, well, I'm sorry you feel that way. When you decide to join our team, give us a call back, and we'll see how you can fit in. So I love it here. I've seen awesome things happening at the VA. Because of other things that are probably out in the news at the time, sometimes these things, you know, everybody doesn't know about them, so... When you guys had given me a call and said, you know, let's do an update show, I thought, well, what better than to update the veterans on these awesome things that are out there for them?
This is all part of the big overarching reform, correct?
Yeah, it's a transformation plan.
The transformation plan. And, you know, I don't think anybody, unless you've just not been paying attention, I think people are pretty aware that there needed to be a transformation plan. The bad part is, I think most people will say, well, it's just for show.
Yeah, if you've got any doubts about that, go to our webpage. We posted a document on there that kind of outlines most of the changes that are happening or in the process of happening, and it looks like some good stuff.
But Bill's first comment was, "Oh, sure, this all sounds good," and I thought, "Oh, perfect, because we need to spend the rest of the show explaining to people how this is real. So should we say hi to Scott, or do you have other things to...
Definitely.
Okay.
Scott has all the good information, so...
I just want to make sure people realize that we didn't, you know, drink some weird Kool-Aid, and so now we're just promoting something that isn't real, because that's never been our...
You did give me some Kool-Aid this morning. What was that?
It was juice.
Okay.
It was just really juice. So let's see, Scott Blackburn. I'm just gonna read your thing, Scott, because I always hate it when people say, "Well, tell me about yourself." Scott's an Army veteran. After completing ROTC at MIT, catch all that. So he went to MIT, and while he was there, he was in ROTC. Lots of letters. Scott served as an Armor and Signal Corps officer from 1999 to 2003. He was stationed at Fort Wainwright, Alaska, and deployed overseas in support of Operation Freedom. His service was cut short by a non-combat related back injury suffered in Kuwait and was medically discharged. The VA's vocational rehab program helped him attend Harvard Business School upon separation, and after graduating from Harvard in 2005, he became an associate at McKinsey & Company, the renowned worldwide management consulting firm. So this is all private industry stuff. Scott developed an expertise in turning around and transforming the culture of large, often bureaucratic Fortune 500 companies. Nobody knows anything about those. Sounds a lot like the government, though.
Mm-hmm.
He became a partner at McKinsey in 2011. And in November 2014, shortly after Bob McDonald was sworn in as Secretary of Veterans Affairs, he joined the team to lead the MyVA transformation. So you have lots of veterans in your family, and you've basically taken this on sort of as a... I guess it's not really a career move, because my guess is in private industry you're making a lot more money. So this wasn't like a bank account maneuver. This was I'm a veteran, lots of veterans in my family, the VA's messed up, they've asked me to help, and I've got the tools to do it sort of thing. That was all hyphenated, by the way. It was one giant hyphenated word. So talk to us about what kind of companies you've turned around, just so we can get some perspective.
Yeah. Well, first of all, Aaron, Bill,
or tell us whatever you want.
Kristen, thanks so much for the kind words. But you know, thank you, Aaron and Bill, for inviting me on today. You know, it's a lot of very exciting stuff going on, and very very excited to talk about it. And really appreciate you guys thinking of us. You mentioned about some of the, you know, I kind of wrote in there. I thought they were big, and I thought they were bureaucratic when I was going and transforming them. But of course, you haven't seen anything until you really dive into government, and particularly the VA. But I work primarily with industrial companies. I lived in Cleveland at the time. I worked with a lot of coal companies, with steel companies, with fertilizer companies. A lot of which were dealing with a lot of the same problems the VA was dealing. They were old and outdated and too slow, and all of a sudden they're dealing with some external market pressures that they had never seen before, with the economy going global. And a lot of them were in the in danger of being extinct. A lot of them were either acquisition targets or threatened to go bankrupt at the time. And you know, the first company I worked in was with a steel processing company in Ohio that you know, and this was in 2007, and of course in 2008 came the recession. That company would have gone bankrupt had they not really jumped in and started transforming when I got there. I loved it. I was having a great time. I loved working with these types of companies. I loved the thrill of going around into the most difficult problems and working to turn them around. And, you know, when I got a call from Bob McDonald, Bob actually happened to be on the board. Of course, Bob, who's the secretary now, was the CEO of Procter & Gamble. He sat on several corporate boards. And was on the board of one of my largest companies, which was largest clients, which was a steel company. And Bob called me up. He said, "Hey, I know you're a veteran. I know you're at McKinsey and have this expertise. How would you like to serve your country again?" And as you highlighted, this is something that's very personal for me. My service was cut short by an injury. The VA was there for me. It had been there for lots of family members in the past, and when I took a look at the news and saw what was going on in Phoenix and elsewhere, it absolutely disgusted me. And I wanted to jump in and be part of the solution rather than sit on the sideline and be one of the people just throwing stones.
See, and that's a really important distinction, because a lot of times it's somebody who's been at a lower level in government bureaucracy. They've moved up, and so they just keep perpetuating the same culture. You know, I think most of us who look at things like the VA think, gosh, if we could just get somebody in there and know something about business,
well,
you know, maybe they can
and
run it like
a business. And also get somebody in there who is a veteran and understands the problem. I think in a lot of cases, non-veteran people are in some of these positions that don't really understand what a lot of these folks have gone through. So,
I think that's a good point, too. We need to take a really quick break, otherwise we'll be behind the rest of the hour, which is what always happens because we have so many questions at the beginning. When we come back, we can go whatever direction you'd like, Scott. I know you've sent us a wonderful PowerPoint. It's called My VA Overview. It's on the website. I hope people do go there, and you can check all of this out for yourself. If you have questions or comments, you are welcome to send them to us through the chat room this afternoon if you're on. And you can find us at WeThePeopleRadio.us. We'll be right back. You're joining We the People Radio. You can find us online, WeThePeopleRadio.us. If you're listening live on Sunday afternoon, you can find a chat room there. If you'd like to communicate with our guest or with us or anything else, you can always find contact information, also phone numbers, emails, if you would like to suggest things about the show, follow up on topics you heard, or sponsor. So, there you go. Okay, back to Scott Blackburn. Because we're talking about the VA, and it's not a bad story today. It's actually a good story. It's a program called My VA, and they've created, Kristen calls it a task force. Is it, I don't know what task force officially means, but are you guys actually VA employees, Scott, or are you consultants, or what are you?
Actually, VA employees.
Okay.
So I had to leave my my prior life and actually resigned my roles, and I signed on as a VA employee. And we have a bunch of other folks like myself that have come in from private industry at various different roles. We brought in the chief information officer from Johnson & Johnson. The chief executive from a company called Jollibee, which is the largest fast food restaurant in Asia. That gentleman was prior the president of McDonald's Europe. He's our veteran experience officer. We have people from USAA. We have folks from all different types of private sector companies that have come in as VA employees. And we're working with folks like Kristen, who have been longer time VA employees, as kind of a little bit of a unconventional SWAT team within the VA that is driving this transformation.
Well, I think most people would be really excited to hear that, because that's what they think needs to happen. You know, needs to have fresh eyes from the outside. You and I spoke about this on the phone a little bit, but give people an idea as far as magnitude. How big is the VA? Because, you know, when they look at transformation and how many veterans we have in the country and those kinds of things, it might not seem to be as big as it is.
Yeah, the VA is huge. And that was something that I didn't realize before I joined. It's actually the second largest government agency, other than the Department of Defense. If it were a private company and you were to compare the budget of the VA against the revenue, which is how they list off the Fortune 500 companies, it would be Fortune number 6. So it would be the sixth largest company in the United States if that's what it was. There are 22 million veterans out there, approximately 9 million of which actually use the healthcare system. We have roughly 340,000 employees, and that is not counting volunteers and residents. So I've heard, that could even be 50 to 100% larger. So it's an awful lot of employees, and it's all across the country. So I think we have roughly 168 large medical centers, over 1,000 clinics, like the one that you have in Redding, California. We have, I think it's 134 cemeteries across the country. And Kristen works in one of the 56 regional offices that we have around the country.
Okay. And so VA handles, and we've kind of done some education on this before, but I'm not sure people really realize that Veterans Benefits Administration is one whole giant enterprise, I guess. And then Veterans Health is another completely different mission. Honestly, they interact. Once you get the benefits, you can use the health care, and, then you have cemetery. So are you guys taking on all three facets in this transformation, or are you starting someplace and moving on from there?
Well, we are taking on all three, because I think integration between the three is so incredibly important. For example, I didn't realize that it was actually three different sub-administrations before I joined the VA. So if 2 years ago I walked through into the Cleveland VAMC and I asked a question about my benefits, and the person behind the counter said, "Hey, that's not my job. I work at the hospital. You need to go downtown," I would have been very confused as a veteran. I wouldn't have understood. To me, it was one VA. And as a result of that, we want to, help integrate across, because I don't think veterans distinguish between VHA, VBA, and NCA, which is the National Cemetery Administration. But with that, of course, this is a huge, huge transformation, and you can't do everything at once. So we do have to prioritize within the VA, and we're doing that. We're taking the first step of what is going to be a long, long journey to transform the VA and get it to what veterans deserve.
So, okay, we know that it's gigantic. Things like that don't change overnight, no matter how much everyone wants it to, how much it needs to change, how skilled the people are at making the transformation. Realistically, what's the time frame, do you think? Maybe milestones. Like, when do you think people will really start noticing, and then when do you think you'll go back to your life? Maybe those are two different things.
Yeah, so you asked a couple of different questions in there, and I'll kind of give you at least my perspective. And,
sure.
And by the way, this is debated even within the walls of the VA. To me, a transformation of this kind is going to take years. It's really going to take a long time. When I was working with Fortune 500 companies, we always kind of used the rule of thumb of, it really takes 3 to 5 years in order to transform a low-performing company into the high-performing company that they want to. Now, when you take the government and you take healthcare, which is also very complicated, you're easily doubling and tripling that. And I had a conversation about this with one of my Harvard Business School professors just recently, who reminded me. He said, "Hey, you need to be patient. This is going to take over a decade." However, with that, we also did put in some near-term milestones as we designed the MyVA program. So what we originally did is we did a visioning exercise shortly after myself and Bob McDonald and the rest of the team came together, and we said, what is the vision that we want? And the name MyVA actually came out of that. It's a VA that veterans, employees, and the American taxpayers are proud of. And we did the visualization exercise. Okay, what would that look like? And then we did an exercise and said, okay, what would it take to get there? And we came up with five strategies that you'll see in the document. And then we reflected on exactly this question that you just asked, and we kind of overlaid the, you know, just being realistic. We have political administrations, and we knew that as a team, we have at least until the end of this year of 2016 to put in places real change. And I call it, you know, people will tell me, they'll say, hey, you know, is this a sprint or a marathon? Because as Kristen knows, you know, I tend to be pretty intense with the pace of work. And my answer is this is a relay race, and we're running the first leg of this relay race. And by the end of the first leg, which is the end of 2016, we want veterans, employees, and the taxpayers to see a real difference. So we put down some very aggressive goals. We have 12 what we're calling breakthrough priorities that you can see in the document on the site that we want to get done by the end of this year. And we're hoping that veterans start feeling the change. And, you know, I think Kristen would, you know, hopefully employees are starting to feel a change, although I know that we still have a long way to go.
Scott, what's been the reception of the employees with all this change? You know, I know most people resist change, and you get the new guy comes in and wants to shake everything up. How is that going over? Are you getting any resistance there, or are people pretty much looking forward to getting a lot of these problems solved?
You know, it's a mix. It's a great question, Bill, and that's one of our biggest challenges. One of the things that surprised me when I joined the VA is I had these perceptions of, you know, government workers or people that don't care. And what I found is quite the opposite. The vast majority of people care very deeply, and I challenge you to go to the VA and grab somebody and have a conversation with them for 5 minutes, ask them why they came to the VA in the first place, and you're going to walk away and say, wow, I didn't realize this person cared so much. And people actually work pretty hard for the most part. As well, I've been fairly impressed. However, people have been burnt before. They've seen different secretaries, different leaders like myself come in before and try to shake things up. And, you know, some have had success and some haven't. So I think when this new team came in, yeah, there's an awful lot of people that say, okay, here we go again. I've been through this before. I'm going to wait them out, whatever it might be. One of our challenges has been is actually embracing these people, you know, and get them on board. You know, Kristen, I think is a great example. You know, and Kristen, when I've spoken to her in the past, I think you had almost probably lost hope at one portion. But you know what?
I can tell you she had lost hope. We've talked about that in detail.
I know. I was a non-believer for sure. And I mean, and you know, you can't just look at this after a month and say, okay, I watched it happen. I've worked here almost a year. So the cool thing to me is starting day one thinking, okay, you know, I had all the doubts in the world. I just have to be honest. But I was going to give it my best and contribute how I could. And then I learned so much about what was happening. And I thought, what a shame, because I don't think that all the veterans know about this. So I would do my part and try and tell everybody there's good things coming. But it's going to be exciting when people are actually seeing it happen.
I think we better take a really quick break. I wanted to also throw in here, you know, when you say that the VA kind of touches everyone, I was looking at some of the statistics in your PowerPoint here, and I was really surprised. 7 out of 10 U.S. doctors receive training at VA. 7 out of 10.
Wow. Well, you'd pretty much run into everything there is to run into.
I know. So, you know, you better make sure this thing runs well.
Yeah.
Whether you're in the VA or not, apparently we're all going to be affected. Kind of interesting. Bob?
Having licensing issues.
It's all fun and games until the licensing doesn't work out for the music. Okay. So, Back to Scott and Kristen. Not back to you. You know, it's perfection we strive for here. That's our goal. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, We the People Radio. WeThePeopleRadio.us. Scott Blackburn from the VA and Kristen Rule from the VA. Kristen, we've had on many shows before, several, many. And you can find those archives at wethepeopleradio.us. Okay, Scott, so I was looking on your, I don't know if I'm fouling up your plan here, but I was looking at your PowerPoint, and one of these goals is VA letters to veterans will be simpler, clearer, easier to understand, and more effective. Okay, two words. Thank God. Jeez Louise. Yeah. If I had a penny for every veteran who's come to me at work with a letter who said, what does this even mean? And we sit there together and go, I think there's a shred of information in there, but most of it sounds like blah, 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 blah. You going to get rid of that?
Yes, we absolutely are. And, so and I think, you know, it's funny when you've gotten the letters from the VA in the past, they've read like military orders, and you're like going through and trying to decipher them and find the code and what this means, and it's extremely frustrating. You know, it's frustrating if you're trying to get an appointment, if you're trying to figure out what your disability rating is, and even imagine if you have, you know, some physical problems that, you know, but like, that's the product of what you have when you're allowing the system and the lawyers, to dictate what you write versus the veterans. And that's one of the big shifts that we're trying to do. When you know, Bob of McDonald, of course, came from the private sector, as did Sloan Gibson and so many in the leadership right now. And when Bob first walked into the doors, you know, it was like a militaristic organization. Everybody called him Mr. Secretary. Everybody stood up at attention. There was assigned seats. So they announced him when he walked into his first meeting. And he said, guys, stop. You know, this is not about us.
You're freaking me out.
This is about the veterans. Yeah, exactly.
I'm really glad to hear you say that, too, because it really sounds like they've gotten away from that simple idea that it is about the veterans, not about the administration.
Exactly. And the letter writing is exactly like that. You know, it was funny when we first started, we're redoing the website. So if you haven't gone on www.vets.gov, please do. And you'll see the future of VA websites and really what we hope is the future of government websites overall, where we actually got a handful. I think we actually now have over 30 people from Silicon Valley that we recruited. And we said, hey, you've made your money. Come to Washington and help solve some bigger problems. And they're working with veterans to design the website. And initially, one of the problems that we had was the language. And the lawyers and everybody were saying, hey, you know, you can't say this without, you know, all this other stuff. And we had this constant battle. And we said, well, we can't have all this other stuff and make it easy for veterans. We need to make it simple and easy to read for everybody. and modern, by the way, too, given the trends that are going on in technology, et cetera. And what we just found is if you have a little legal disclaimer and you can have people read the fine print and stuff like that separately, we can actually work a lot differently. So what we're going through is Bob McDonald has asked our Veterans Experience team to start with the most frequently used letters that go out to veterans and start rewriting them so that they actually make sense. And we have people that write in plain English that are doing that, working with the administration.
Yeah, and how about the one that says your claim is still being worked on that doesn't sound like sit down and shut up, we'll get to you when we feel like it?
Exactly.
I got to tell you, people get that, they're like, I got another blow-off letter today. It's like, I'm sorry. You know, and then sometimes they get the letter. I mean, I'm glad you have computer guys in there because you guys have a, it's just a tangled web, you know, mm-hmm. of all these different computer systems. And so people will get the letter, the blow-off letter that says, yeah, you know, blah, 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 your claim, blah, 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 2018, blah, blah, blah. And then, like, 2 days later, money will show up in their bank account. They'll call, I got money. What does that mean? I'm like, oh, that means the letter that says your claim was approved is in the mail. Yeah, but what happened to 2018? Yeah, I don't know. And then the website, what is it? What's the one they go to? E-Benefits. And E-Benefits yeah. says it's going to be done in 20. I mean, it's like they have five answers for every thing and nobody can figure out what's true.
Yeah, and it becomes a product of this, the VA was built up over many decades almost as an assembly line. So Congress would pass a bill and say, we're going to do the GI Bill or health care or insurance or home loans or whatever it might be, and the VA would then build up an assembly line to produce that. The problem is that those assembly lines never actually came to each other and nobody cared, and now we do care. And we're flipping that and saying, okay, if it's not about us, we're moving away from that assembly line mentality towards what does the veteran care about. And you mentioned some of the technology challenges. I'll just give you a couple of personal examples. When I was separated from service, I lived in Alaska and I applied for my disability and compensation. When I needed to go back to school, I applied for vocational rehab. I lived in Massachusetts. When I bought my first house, I lived in Ohio. And when I finally got my health care done, I live in Maryland. The VA system thinks I'm four different people because I'm in four different computer systems that don't talk to each other.
Yeah.
So we're fixing that. That's going to be a big technological lift. We have over 1,000 websites that are veteran-facing that we're going to condense down to one, including e-benefits. We have, I think it's 975 different phone numbers, 976 if you count the secretary's cell phone number, which he gives out sometimes, that veterans could call. We're going to condense that down into one easy-to-remember phone number. And we're working these things as quickly as we possibly can, but with some of the technological challenges, it does take a little bit of time.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, honestly, anybody who thinks that this is going to get fixed overnight is kidding themselves. But the idea that you actually recognize the problem, because it seems like oftentimes with these kind of big bureaucracies, that's just the way we do it. You know, it's kind of like get used to it and get over it because we're not really going to change anything.
Yeah, and I think a lot of times it comes off that way. But, you know, I think when you step back and look at the size of the organization and, you know, I want to believe that the majority of the people that work there want to do a good job and want to do the right thing for the veterans, but they have to work with the system that's in place. And if the system is complicated and screwed up, and they can't work outside that system, it comes right back to them, and that gets turned right back onto the veterans, and that's where the breakdown starts. And so it's always the person on the other side of the desk that's going to catch it. And, you know, being in customer service my whole life, I know how that is. You might be the one that makes the promise and basically makes the sale, but the follow-up is what's going to make that person believe you or not the next time they come in, and you have no control over that. So I feel for you. I mean, the system that you're working with is gigantic. And to turn that around is like turning around a freighter out in the middle of the ocean. It takes a little room.
And Bill, you really hit the nail on the head with that comment. It is the people. When I go into the VA, when I filed for my claim or home loan or medical care, it's not somebody in Washington. Those people are far from the veterans. It's a nurse. It's a receptionist. It's the person in the call center who's answering the phone. And getting to those people and inspiring them to go and do the right thing makes all the difference in the world. And that's why we're trying to push down the idea of moving from a rule or fear-based organization to a principles-based organization, where when a veteran comes in, when they're coming to the VA, they're not coming on their happiest day of their life.
No.
One of the people in the cemetery administration, which is fantastic, by the way, if anybody's ever experienced their service, they're actually the number one service customer service rated organization in the country by one independent organization. I asked them. I said, "How do you do it?" And they said, "When you see the veteran's family come in that day, you realize this is one of the worst days of their life, and you only have one shot to make it." Well, it's the same thing when people are coming in for health care. They're not coming in on their best day. It's the same thing when they're calling the regional office. They're calling over and over again because they need something. And we need to really stress this principle-based decision-making, doing the right thing, living the values every single day amongst all our employees. As Bill, as you mentioned, if you take a look at the best customer service organizations in the world, they are also... It maps one-to-one with the best places to work. And if we need to win over our employees, we need to make the VA a great place to work so that they're willing to go above and beyond to serve veterans.
Yeah.
Sure.
And that person that is making the initial contact with that veteran, that is so important that they have that good attitude, and then also they've got support behind them to back up.
Yeah, that they don't get punished for doing the right thing.
Well, that and
we've heard a lot about that.
You know, when they tell a veteran this is what's going to happen, the veteran should have no reason to believe that's not going to happen.
That's true.
So they have to have that support behind them, and I think that's where a lot of the failures come is the support end of it.
Sure. And people like Kristen who's pipe up and say, "Hey, I think this is, messed up or could be improved or whatever," and then it turns into World War III rather than let's see how we can make that happen. It's your whole idea is, I think, what people have been wishing would happen for a long time. And I'm sure a lot of people, well, like Kristen, that work at VA are like, "Oh, finally, my input is going to be valuable. Being good at my job is actually going to be a good thing rather than a liability." I think those are all upside. Let's take one really quick break and we'll come back. Hey, Scott, can you tell people about the VA feedback tool when we come back?
Sure, absolutely. And by the way,
I think that sounds super fun.
I think Bob needs a pay raise. You get the Scorpions and the Warriors. Fantastic.
Well,
that's why I come back. Their music skills.
We'll have to play Kristen's special song for you here. probably on our way back in. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Through the war, future dreams we have to realize. About Kristen.
All the whistleblower girls. They had to have their own special song. Actually, I think, Kristen, I think you brought that on yourself. I believe at one point you told us something about you were a bad girl at the VA and that, well, obviously.
No, I said I was never a bad girl. I said I survived till age 30. You know, I came from a father who was a polygrapher. And
I didn't know that.
I pretty much, you know, I'd never been arrested. I don't even think I ever got detention.
That's always a plus, yeah.
So I went to the VA, and that's when I was saying, you know, instantly I became told I was bad all the time, so I didn't know what was going on.
And somehow that morphed into Kristen's a bad girl at the VA, and this is her special song. How quickly we forget. Scott, we'll work on a special song for you.
All right.
He's like, oh, I'm super excited. Not.
Yeah, thank you.
And don't give us any details of your life, otherwise they become a special song. Hey, but I guess you're one of five kids. I'm one of five kids. See? Takes people who come from large crowds. Bill's one of four kids. So we tend to...
We got a lot in common.
Yeah, we tend to fix things because we're used to working in a crowd. okay, so tell us about this this VA feedback tool, because I got to tell you, I have a lot of people who would like to give feedback. So when does that start working, or do you know?
Well, we've actually set up an entire office. We call it the Veterans Experience Office that is kind of leading the charge and collecting feedback and really understanding what level of service that veterans want. And they're doing a couple of things. One is we're applying a technique that called human-centered design. This is the same technique that Apple uses to make their products user-friendly. And we've hired a bunch of designers that are coming in, and they've done a lot of really interesting stuff. They figured out that veterans are not all alike. So, for example, I'm an Operation Enduring Freedom veteran. My father's generation, they're all Vietnam veterans. My mom's brother, had PTSD and fell on some hard times and was even, potentially homeless at one point in time. My grandfather's a World War II veteran. We're all very different, and we interact with the VA in very different ways. So we came up in the private sector, you would call it customer segmentation. We call it veteran personas that use the VA in different ways. And we found these personas by going out there and actually talking and interacting with veterans on what do they want. We're also using analytics. We're establishing our own little Moneyball team, if you will, of really smart people that will go and dig into statistics and figure out what people actually care about, and then that will then inform how we actually design our different services. So we're building up that capability in the organization as well. We're measuring overall experience. As a matter of fact, it's still in very early days, but I think one of the slides in my presentation, you can see that, you know, just between, I think it's January and May, we're seeing an uptick. It's way too early, and we have way too long to go to declare a victory or anything, but we're encouraged that something might be working. And we're seeing an improved experience out there. But we also have to improve on the operational metrics, whether it be wait times or backlogs or things like that. And we are setting up tools in which that we're having teams in each one of the districts so that veterans can come in and they could interact with these folks and send in feedback so that they can be heard. We can identify problems and solve problems in more real time.
See, that is so great, because right now, I think at the clinic level anyway, I don't know about the bigger hospitals and stuff, but what we deal with here is all those things fall on the patient advocate. And oftentimes the patient advocate, okay, I'm going to say most of the time, just from what I hear, but I only hear the problems, so my viewpoint's skewed, but they're not able to fix those problems. And I don't know how far up the food chain that reporting goes. So if veterans could actually use this interface, so many people have phones where they can use apps, it seems like that would just take a load off of the facility and actually get you guys the information you need to make change.
You're exactly right, and we're piloting that right now. Matter of fact, our first pilot is in Baltimore, where we're going to have we're calling it VOICE, and don't ask me what VOICE stands for, but it's an acronym for something, which there's kiosks and smartphones, and veterans are able to type in, hey, here's how my experience was today, here's things that we need to improve on. So it goes in instantaneously. What we're finding as well is actually we could use the same platform for employees to provide real time, which is exactly what we went out there. We studied Starbucks and Ritz-Carlton and USAA and all kinds of other best practice companies and what they did. And every single day, the barista at Starbucks will type in, did we live our values today? Yes or no. And we want to get that type of real-time feedback and see how that correlates with our employees, too.
Fabulous. All right, we're talking to Scott Blackburn from the VA and Kristen Rule also from the VA. We're going to do this for the next hour, too. We've still got a whole ton of information to deliver. You have 5 minutes, however, to get some coffee. WePeopleRadio.us.